cases this morning. The first is number 23-2121, Samsung Electronics v. Power to Be. Mr. Haber.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Benjamin Haber for Appellant Samsung. I'm going to be talking about the 070 and 369 patents today. Here, the Board's decision is based on a fundamental error that infected all of its conclusions below. The Board refused to actually consider the combination that was presented to it. The combination here is simple. The main prior art, Keeley, is a device with an intuitive user interface software using a pen-based stylus with a notebook computer. And Giva, the secondary reference, is brought in for its specific teachings about light-based stylus digitizing hardware. So today I'm going to discuss the Board's three major errors. First, I'll discuss the Board's refusal to consider Samsung's arguments. Second, I will discuss the Board's errors when addressing certain claim elements. And third, I will discuss errors as they relate to motivations to combine.
So the Board interpreted the petition as saying that there was an intent to incorporate parts of Keeley, but not all parts of Keeley, right? It was just that reading. How do we review that? Is that reviewed for an abuse of discretion? Is it reviewed for substantial evidence? That is, whether a reasonable person could read it that way? What's the standard?
So the standard of review here, Your Honors, and I wanted to make a small correction, but the court interpreted the petition as incorporating parts of Giva and not other parts of Giva, the secondary reference.
Got it. I got the name.
And the standard of review here is compliance with the APA is reviewed under an arbitrary and capricious standard. The factual issues in interpreting the patent, for example, are substantial evidence. And the Board's interpretation...
What about the specific standard of review that applies to when we look at the Board's determination that the reply raised a new issue?
Yeah, I think
isn't that reviewed for abuse of discretion?
Yes, so it's reviewed at least in part for an abuse of discretion. I think the applicable case is the Core Photonics v. Apple case. That's 84F4990. And there are actually two parts of the standard of review there for this issue on reply. The question of whether or not the argument is new is actually reviewed under a de novo standard. And the question of whether or not the arguments are responsive is reviewed under an arbitrary and capriciousness standard.
And that's when looking at the reply, correct?
Correct. When looking at the reply.
What about the Board's reading of the petition? Didn't we say in Core Photonics that we also review the Board's reading of the petition for abuse of discretion? I'm at page 1002 of Core Photonics. It is for the Board to determine what grounds are being articulated in a petition and what arguments and evidence are being referred to in the responses and any replies. And then I think we go on to say we review those assessments for abuse of discretion. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So your argument that the Board misunderstood what you were trying to say in the petition, we review that for abuse of discretion?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
So help me, because I'm a little confused here. You rely on the combination of Giva and Keeley.
Yes,
to satisfy the claim limitations. And the particular focus here is on the touch-sensitive aspect of this, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And in your reply, you say, well, we're not relying on the digitizer and magnetic coils of Keeley, so there's no problem with the incorporation of that, right? But I'm still confused, because Giva does not teach touch sensitivity, right?
I don't think that is correct, Your Honor. Giva does teach touch sensitivity.
I'm not sure that I understand how that's the case, because you certainly can use a Giva to measure the Z-axis, and touching the screen would give you a zero rate for the Z-axis. But I don't understand how, in terms of touch sensitivity as described in the specification, Giva is doing what's described. I mean, it's not for example, touching an icon or something like that, which would provide information. It's just not, Giva is not capable of doing that.
Giva is not a system that does physical contact, physical touch. And if you look at the patent, I'm at appendix 114. The way the patent is talking about touch sensitivity is light-based, so it's a light-based stylus. And so when the patent is talking about touch and user interaction, they're not actually talking about physical contact. They're talking about...
So if I were to conclude that you were wrong about that and that touch sensitivity is talking about physical contact, like touching an icon, then your combination wouldn't show what was required, right?
Respectfully, Your Honor, no, that's not correct. Giva actually does include teachings related to touching, that the stylus coming into physical contact with the touch sensor. So, one, it's not accurate that the claims require physical contact.
No, I understand. But
even if they did,
it's not a question of physical contact. It's a question of whether the physical contact is identifying, as the specification describes, touching an icon that does a particular thing. Just, in other words, that the very fact of touching doesn't make it touch sensitive. It seems to me those are two different things.
I think the act of physical contact is certainly different than, an interaction without physical contact. That is true. But I do want to direct Your Honor's attention to Appendix 1363, where Giva specifically talks about the light-emitting cursor device 10 touching planar element 14 and emitting a beam of light. So even the idea of physical contact is contained in Giva. Giva does teach that requirement to the extent it is part of the claims.
Well, it teaches physical contact, perhaps, but not physical contact that records the result and accomplishes the transmittal of information within the display.
So the back end side of that is really a software aspect, and that software aspect comes from Keeley. Keeley takes the output of the digitizer and then associates it with an icon on the display to show that the user is interacting, for example, with a write icon or is taking some other contact. So the output of Giva is going to be a point or a motion or tracking the stylus. That output is sent to the software Keeley, and then Keeley interprets it and determines that a user is, for example, interacting with a certain icon. And that's the combination that we presented. All of that kind of back-end hardware functionality.
Where is that description in the petition or the reply that you just gave?
Right. So if you look at the petition, at appendix page 278, this is where we set forth the combination, and it's fairly plain here that what is happening. So Keeley's tool icons from figure 6 have been superimposed to show the display screen outlined in red. So you can see the display screen on the next page that shows the icons. It forms a touch-sensitive plane, which is compatible with Giva's planar element 14, also outlined in red. And so what we're depicting here is that the planar element is positioned over Keeley's display, which displays the icons. The user uses the stylus to interact with the icons. Keeley then interprets that and takes the appropriate action it needs to take. And you can see that as we march through the claim elements, there are claim elements, for example, at Appendix 284. At Appendix 284, we describe determining...
Well, where does this describe... I mean, the way you described it a moment ago, using the software of Keeley and the stylus of Giva to create... But I don't see that description here on 278.
So that was...
It talks about Keeley's tool icons being superimposed, et cetera, et cetera. And it talks about getting the touch sensitive from Keeley, but the explanation that you gave doesn't seem to me to appear on page 278.
So page 278 is the combination. And then if you look at the claim elements that actually have the interaction components, they're later in the claim. And so you can see, for example, at appendix 284, we're determining the 3D position. And then you can see at Appendix 285 and 286, this is done with Giva. Giva's figure 7 is displayed there. And then the next step.
Is what particular language are you relying on 284 and 285? I just want to make sure that I understand what you're pointing to on these pages.
Yeah, so if you look at 284, it states there, Posita would have combined Keeley's display plane with the sensor array and processor of Giva in order to collect the positional input. So the Giva's processor and hardware is collecting the positional input. So those are the coordinates that you can see in Giva's figure 7 on the next page, appendix 286. And then the following claim element says that you have to basically take that information and use it to select a selectable icon. And you can see the description there at 286 and 287 is describing the software of Giva. And you can see the software of Giva?
I thought you were using the software of Keeley.
Yeah, that's correct. I misspoke. The software of Keeley.
Where does it show that?
Appendix 287. You can see figure 9. Yeah. Figure 9 is a flowchart. It's a flowchart describing how the software works. And you can see superimposed next to figure 9, figure 6, the resulting output that's shown on Keeley's display, write icons, type icons, select icons. And so those are the things that Giva's pen is interacting with when, you know, you raise it or lower it and you're selecting various icons.
To be clear, the figures, figure 9 and figure 6 shown at page 287 is from Keeley, right?
Yes, that is correct.
What about, you know, the board? You referred us to page 278 and a particular sentence there. And that particular sentence that you cited refers to the expert's declaration, Dr. Peterson, I think.
That's correct.
And his language, you know, that is the one thing that's cited to support the sentence. And his language, to me, seems to be probably the most challenging sentence for you of all everything in the record. And that's where he says, you know, I've shown how Keeley's touch sensitive plane can be used as Giva's planar element, suggesting that the touch sensitive plane is being used instead of Giva's planar element. What's your response to that?
That is the way that opposing counsel has interpreted that claim language.
And
the board, that is correct. On reply, we put in a reply declaration from Mr. Peterson to specifically make plain that that was not his opinion, and to clarify that, you know, his opinion was, instead of saying as, he could have said with, he could have explained things more clearly.
Well, I understand that, but where does the reply articulate the theory that you've been presenting here this morning of using the software of Neely and the planar element from Giva to produce a touch-sensitive display?
If you look at Appendix 3888, that's in the reply. We specifically spell out what the combination is. The combination advanced by petitioner does not change Keeley's generic LCD and does not rely on any aspect of Keeley 2's alternative digitizer approaches. We make very, very clear.
Where does it say it's the software from Keeley and the planar element from Giva?
You can see that if you look back one page, Appendix 3887.
Yeah.
They failed to consider petitioner's specific combination of Giva's input functionality, that's the hardware, and Keeley's user interface features, that's the software. That was the combination that was presented below, and that was not what the board addressed. At every opportunity, they addressed a combination that specifically included, for example, Keeley 2's electromagnetic digitizer and other components that weren't actually part of the combination.
The phrases input functionality and user interface features are pretty broad, aren't they? I mean, it's hard for me looking at this to know that what that means with respect to what you're including from each system. You can explain why I'm wrong. That was my initial reaction to the sentence.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the way that we march through the claim elements, you can see the input functionality is the hardware. It's the stylus. It's all of the features of Giva that describe how that input is collected. And the user interface functions is the software. That's all of the flowcharts from Keeley, and those are all of the things that are set out in the petition.
At 3889, the next page of the reply 3, you go on to say, petitioner's combination is that Giva's sensor arrays and planar element would simply be placed on top of Keeley's conventional LCD, right?
That's correct.
Is that theory articulated in the petition, and if so, where?
Yes, and I would again direct your honors to 287. That shows Keeley's LCD, and
does it show it being placed on top? The Giva sensor array is being placed on top of Keeley's conventional LCD.
That was what we intended when we made this figure. It does not superimpose this rectangle onto this rectangle. We do make that superposition in the reply, but that was the intent of what's shown on top
and
of 279.
And isn't it clear that the board goes on at A35 to actually consider, even though it thinks that you failed to make this argument in the petition, it nonetheless goes on to consider and reject, ultimately, this combination that you set out at 3889.
So it purports to consider it, but they didn't actually consider it. What you'll see is that about halfway through the board's final written decisions, they say, okay, now we're going to consider the combination. But at every opportunity where they do that, the combination that they're considering is not the combination that we presented on the reply. And I want to
You're saying the combination that they considered included the digitizer and the other aspect of Neely?
Correct. And if you look at Appendix 36, you can see they call this a redundant combination. This is the combination that they considered when they were purporting to consider a combination. It is a combination that includes Keeley 2, and its electromagnetic digitizer, and Giva's light sensor. And they call this a redundant combination, and they say one of skill in the art would not have been motivated to make this redundant combination. The problem is that isn't the combination. We never argued that Keeley 2 would be included in our combination. Giva specifically replaces Keeley 2. And that's what Giva says. Giva says that there are these electromagnetic digitizers out there, but Giva's combination is better. You should remove your electromagnetic digitizer and use Giva as an improved alternative. And that's what we argued. And that's what the board should have considered, but they just didn't, despite them saying that they did.
Can I ask you, I think, pointed us to page A287 and the figures there, figure 9 and figure 6 from Keeley, to show us that the combination that was being proposed was to put Giva's surface on top of the display in Keeley. But how can I read that from this figure when there's nothing shown in these figures, the combined figures from Giva? I'm just having a hard time.
The intent when we created this figure was this red aspect, the planar element that's outlined in red, would be positioned in Keeley's figure 1, which is also outlined in red. That was the intent of this figure, to show that these things correspond to the same.
And this is the figure on page A287.
Correct. And then in the
reply, which doesn't show anything from Giva, right?
Yeah, so Giva's figure 6. So this entire position determining input device of Giva is shown in figure 6. And that's the entire thing, except for the stylus. It's the sensors, it's the planar element, it's a processor. And what's outlined in red is planar element 14, and what's outlined in red in Keeley's figure 1 is where that would be positioned on top of Keeley.
Given the standard of review, I understand that your expert said, hey, I see what you said in my declaration, but that's not what I meant. How much credit do we give that, given that the standard of review is abuse of discretion, and we look at whether what the board did was reasonable or not, and how they interpreted the petition was reasonable or not.
So
whole point is the petition sets the stage, right?
Right. The petition sets the stage, and so I think there's two things that you have to ask when you review this. One is the combination that we presented new, and that's something that you have to look at on, you know, a de novo standard. And two, you have to ask yourself whether or not what is in the reply is responsive to patent owner's arguments, because a reply is allowed to respond to patent owner's arguments. And the patent owner here looked at the combination and said, we don't understand what you're doing, we think you're doing this. And our expert came back and said, that isn't what I was doing. He goes through in the reply declaration at Appendix 4134 exactly what his combination was that he believed he was setting forth. And then he said, I understand that patent owner seems to have an erroneous view of my combination. Let me just say what it is. This is what it is. And that, I think, is permissible because it's entirely responsive to what patent owner said. And if patent owner believed that That was not his original combination. They could have deposed our expert, but they didn't. They did not ask him. They make this argument that the expert intended to do something, and the expert didn't. And the only evidence in the record of what the expert intended to do, what combination he intended to present, is the reply declaration. The reply declaration says specifically, this is the combination that I intended to present, and here it is in plainer terms to respond directly to what patent owner's argument is. And so that question of responsiveness, that's really the abuse of discretion standard. And so you have to ask yourselves, was it an abuse of discretion to not consider what the expert said on reply when the expert is responding directly to what the patent owner's argument was?
Is it really fair to say they didn't consider it? Well, you're saying it's not fair to credit it. That's very different than did they consider it, right? I mean, well, I'm just, it might be a technicality, but I do think they addressed it, and what they said was that they thought we're reading the petition differently, right?
So what they said, when they purport to apply the reply evidence, they go through and they purport to apply the reply evidence, what they said is that they compare what the expert said to a combination that includes Keeley 2 that isn't what the expert presented.
They kept the digitizer and the magnetic coils.
And the expert said, that's not my combination. That was never my combination. And so when the board considered that combination, they couldn't have considered what the expert said because the expert said that wasn't the combination that he was presenting.
Okay. Unless there are further questions, we're out of time. Mr. Haber, we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Deming?
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Mark Deming on behalf of the FLE Power to Be. May it please the court. The board correctly found that
So just help me here for a moment. Let's put aside the question of what they argued and whether this morning's argument was reflected in the petition and the reply. They're arguing combining the planar element from Giva and the software from Keeley gives you the claimed invention. What's your view of that? Is that correct, that that combination would give you the claimed invention or not?
No, Your Honor, I would disagree. And I don't believe we've ever heard about the software of Keeley being incorporated anywhere in the papers up until this morning. I think the original combination that was in the petition was very clearly...
No, but you're addressing the exact argument I want to put aside.
Okay.
The question is, put aside the question of whether it was properly argued. Understand that's a significant issue here.
Yes.
But is does the combination of the Giva planar element and the Neely software give you the invention?
No, Your Honor. What the board found, and I think if I understand what you're saying, is that if you had Keeley without the digitizer, you just had the software, whatever that is, and you had the planar element, that teaches the invention. The board said no. Because
the board didn't seem to consider that because they kept the digitizer in the magnetic coil.
The board did not keep the digitizer in the new combination. The board said repeatedly that Samsung was removing the digitizer, Samsung responding to our argument about redundant sensors and extra complexity and resource usage. Samsung said in the reply, we did not mean to include the digitizer.
Where does the board say that they're considering a combination that doesn't include the digitizer and the magnetic coil?
Just let me find it, Your Honor. So, for example, at Appendix 32 to 33, one of the points that we made was that without the digitizer, Keeley's LCD display would no longer be a touch-sensitive display. And the board at 32-33 essentially summarized our argument of that Keeley requires a digitizer to provide a touch-sensitive display and that the new combination eliminates Keeley's digitizer and thus cannot satisfy the claimed display screen forming a touch-sensitive display plane.
Where exactly is that on 32 and 33?
It's on 33... At the very first paragraph, Your Honor, The board summarizes patent owner's argument, which is power to be, and then the very last sentence, they say, we agree with patent owner. And so to answer your question, Judge, the board is saying that once you remove the digitizer from Keeley, Keeley no longer teaches the functionality of touch. And so even if Keeley has some software that was never specifically identified by Samsung, once you remove the digitizer, Keeley doesn't teach that anymore. Samsung would have to find that teaching in Giva, and that teaching does not exist in the embodiment that they were relying on.
Okay.
So, Your Honor, I did want to discuss all of the things that the board considered in reaching its conclusion that the original combination did not include the planar element. There's a statement in the papers that suggests that this all hinges on the one sentence by the expert that says the display is used as the planar element. But the board actually considered numerous statements that Samson made in the petition where it was very clear it was relying on Keeley's display and only the display as the touch-sensitive display plane. And so, for example, in discussing element 1B, which is the element at issue here, at page 278, Samsung said, Keeley's notebook or notepad computer includes a liquid crystal display. They go on later in the paragraph to say, the display screen outlined in red forms a touch-sensitive plane. It's the display that forms the touch-sensitive plane. It's not the display in anything else. And they make numerous more statements in discussing other elements, referring back consistent with that. So at appendix 279 to 280, they say, Keeley provides a touch-sensitive display plane, contrasting that with Giva, which provides light sensors. They never say Giva provides a planar element. Page 283 of the appendix, discussing element 1F, they say, as explained above, a Posita would have combined Keeley's display plane with the sensor array of Giva.
Page 280, they say Giva provides light sensor arrays disposed at first and second edges of the planar element 14. What is your response to that?
Your Honor, that's just a general description of Giva. They were not incorporating the planar element. 280. I mean, immediately above that is where they say, the previous paragraph that I was referring to, where they say Keeley provides a touch-sensitive display plane. A Posita would have understood that Keeley's display plane thus includes a sensor array. They talk about, this is another question that they say in their reply, that they didn't mean to incorporate the hardware of Keeley too, that they were just using Keeley as this agnostic black box that you could plug any input device into.
No, well, that's not quite right. They're saying they're relying on Keeley for the software.
Well, Your Honor, Keeley incorporates by reference Keeley 2, and they, in their petition, specifically rely on Keeley 2 and specifically rely on the hardware of Keeley. So on 279, in the last sentence, they say the housing would have been understood to include the notebook computer, which includes all of the components, the display, the processors, the memory, the sensors. And the sensors of Keeley are described in Keeley 2, which is incorporated by reference, which is the digitizer.
There's multiple places where the petition says that Keeley and Giva are compatible with one another, for instance, at 278. Isn't that clearly making the argument as to the combination that includes the planar element 14?
No, I disagree. The board looked, it said it counted them. It looked at 10 times that the petition allegedly discussed the planar element. And the board said at Appendix 29, upon consideration of all the discussion of Giva's planar element in the petition, we find that nothing in the petition indicates petitioner's proposed combination was placing Giva's planar element on top of Keeley's display. So the planar element was mentioned at times. But these were in general descriptions of Giva or in other elements. There was never any point that, and the board considered all of them. This is why.
Is it your contention that the petition is ambiguous and maybe a little bit inconsistent on how it's using planar element 14, whether it's using it or replacing it? Or
no.
Is it totally unambiguous and they just never make the argument that they're contending they intended to make?
I mean, our position is they were clear that it was Keeley's display that forms a touch-sensitive display plane. That was it. It was Keeley's display.
And they also incorporate...
What if we see it as ambiguous, that sometimes they seem to be saying what you're suggesting, other times it seems like, of course, the only operable combination would be what they're telling us and clearly said on reply they meant. If we see it as that sort of jumble, what do we do?
Your Honor, if the court were to see it as ambiguous, I don't know how it could overrule the board on an abuse of discretion standard. Because if it was ambiguous, then the board's determination would ultimately be a reasonable one.
Well, how can it be that the reply isn't responsive to your arguments? I mean, it seems to me very odd that under Apple and other cases, you know, the board has a history of reading the reply requirements too restrictively, and we've said that you can't read it that restrictively, and you have to allow response and elaboration to arguments that have been made before. And doesn't this seem like a pretty clear response in the reply to the arguments that you were making?
Your Honor, the petition is what defines the grounds of the petition.
No, you're not answering my question.
I'm getting there. I'm sorry. I'm saying that the petition kind of sets the framework for how you measure whether or not something's responsive. And so the petition sets the grounds. The patent owner made the responsive arguments. And then on reply, if they were simply...
You're not answering my question. The reply responded to the arguments that you were making, right?
But I did not merely respond to our arguments. It introduced an entire new theory. That's
is it your view that you can't respond by introducing a new theory?
Yes.
And do you need us to say that what was stated in the reply is new because you concede what was stated in the reply is responsive?
I don't know that I concede it's responsive to the original argument that the petitioner made and that we were responding to. Just introducing a new argument because
Do you concede that their reply theory, whether it's a clarification or it's new, it was responsive to the argument you were making in your patent owner response? Isn't that clear?
I mean, I think what they did is they saw that the original combination was so clearly inoperable they had no way to defend it, and so they pivoted to an entirely new argument. If you want to call that responsive, I don't know that I would agree that that's responsive. I think that's shifting gears completely.
Even if it is responsive, if we were to say de novo, it's new because it wasn't in the petition, would that lead us, in your view, to affirm?
If you were to say it was new, then I think, yes, you'd affirm. And so ultimately, that's what we want. We want the board to be affirmed here.
But there's nothing in the petition where they say they're relying on the digitizer and magnetic coil of Keeley, right?
Well, they say they're relying on Keeley sensors, and Keeley sensors is the electromagnetic digitizer. I quoted that earlier. I think it was at page 280, where they talk about the...
Well, I guess it depends what you mean by sensors as to whether that is the hardware or the software.
Well, they are reciting the components of the Notepad computer at 279, 280. And they say these are all hardware components, the display, the processors, the memory, the sensors. The only sensors that are in Keeley, are described in Keeley 2, is the electromagnetic digitizer.
Can I ask you, I mean, like the page you cited us to on page A280, when it says it would have been obvious to a PCETA to include the sensor arrays proximate to the display screen of Keeley, they're talking about the sensor arrays of Jiva, right?
Where are you looking at?
At the bottom paragraph, first sentence under the figure, at page A280. I don't know how it could be Jiva's sensor arrays because they're referenced above in the, you know, sentence immediately above the figure.
When immediately above that is where I was referring to them relying on Keeley sensors. And if you look at this...
No, they're saying Jiva provides light sensor arrays.
Yes. We're all on the same page. If you look specifically at the paragraph that you're talking about, they say the sensor arrays in Jiva are configured to detect at least a portion of the beam of electromagnetic radiation incident on the display. So if they were relying on Jiva's sensors and Jiva's planar element, they would have said there that Jiva's sensors are configured to detect radiation incident on the planar element.
I'm with you. I just got lost when you were saying, it sounded like you were saying they were using Keeley sensors, but they're using Jiva's sensors, but they don't, the issue is whether they included the planar element, which was required for operability.
Yeah, ultimately, on whether or not the original combination was inoperable, or whether it was different from the reply combination, is whether or not it includes the planar element. But our position is that in the original combination, they did not include the planar element. They were including Keeley's digitizer and Jiva's sensors, but the Jiva's sensors wouldn't detect anything. If light shines on the display, there's no, the whole way the function of the planar element is that it redirects the light to these sensors on the side. The Keeley's display doesn't do that. It would just shine right on it and there'd be nothing detected by Diva sensors. And so it would just be inoperable, and that's why they abandoned that combination.
Samsung points out you had the opportunity to depose their witness, I think it's Dr. Peterson, and you chose not to. Shouldn't we be concerned about what kind of incentives we're creating? If you're genuinely confused by why they're seeming to be pushing an inoperable embodiment, but there's some lack of clarity about what they mean, that they could clear up if you just ask them. Shouldn't we be concerned about creating an incentive not to pursue that avenue of clarification?
I mean, ultimately, we didn't think there was any ambiguity. We thought they were crystal clear in what their combination was. We just thought they were wrong. And so we didn't need to depose their expert to try and, you know, have him change his theory. We knew exactly what his theory was.
What about if we see the petition as ambiguous? Shouldn't we say, when you're faced with a petition that's ambiguous, you have an obligation to try to, you know, understand what it is rather than go through to the end of an IPR and then an appeal saying we don't really understand what they mean?
I don't think we ever said we don't understand what they mean. I think we always were very confident in what they meant. It was just an inoperable combination.
An inoperable combination which included Giva's stylus and a digitizer at the same time? That's the idea?
Well, the reason it was inoperable in the original combination.
So my question is that the reason it's inoperable?
No, it was the fact that it didn't include the planar element. So Giva stylus shining light onto the LCD display would not get any light to the sensors.
But part of the question here is whether in the original combination they were including the digitizer and magnetic coils from Keeley. And I'm just not understanding why it is that you would read what they were proposing is including those two things together with the stylus. That seems a very odd thing to be arguing.
Well, if they didn't include the digitizer, then the LCD panel that they repeatedly say constitutes the touch-sensitive display plane would not have been touch-sensitive. And so that would have been an additional reason why it was inoperable.
Can I ask you just one question about something that hasn't even come up, but this tracking movement
yes.
limitation, which is just in, I think, the 369
yes.
patent. Can you just help me understand, how could the board be correct when it says Giva's indication of a position is not sufficient to satisfy that limitation of tracking movement?
So Giva gives two mutually exclusive embodiments, one which does three-dimensional z-axis approximation. This is identifying a position, but even Giva concedes that it's not particularly accurate. There's a second embodiment that it says it's more accurate, but only identifies when there's touch. The pen only emits light when it's touching the planar element, and so it has zero three-dimensional tracking ability.
That first embodiment, if it even just roughly approximates the location at multiple points over time, isn't that essentially tracking movement?
But Giva doesn't teach that. And there was expert testimony on both sides on this, which the board ultimately did not credit their expert, Peterson, and did credit our expert, Cairns, who said that it's very resource intensive. It's not something that would have necessarily been done. There was no motivation in Giva talking about this. And so ultimately that's an evidence weighing where the board credited our expert, not their expert. And I think that's also viewed on the abuse of discretion.
So we have two separate issues here. One is the movement issue, which is only for the 369. And the other one is the touch sensitive, which is only the 070, right?
Well, I think there's ultimately three different independent grounds on which you ought to affirm. One is the question of whether or not there was this new combination.
No, wait. I'm trying to understand whether we have two separate issues for two separate patents or whether...
The abuse of discretion question covers both patents.
No. The touch-sensitive display issue concerns only the 070 patent, right?
Yes, as far as element 1B.
Yeah. Right. And the movement issue only concerns the 369 patent, right?
Yes. And court only reaches that if it finds an abuse of discretion. Right. And there's also an addition, we didn't talk about it, but there's the motivation to combine, which if the court were to uphold that on a substantial evidence basis, that would also be a basis for affirming. So for Samsung to obtain reversal here, I mean, it essentially needs to win three or four different
legs of this uphill battle, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Haber, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I wanted to address just a couple points. Keeley 2, the reference that they say that we incorporated into the original combination, is cited one time in the petition. It's cited on appendix page 282, and you'll note that it is cited for the basic proposition that a notebook computer includes a memory and a display. At the one time we cited Keeley 2, we did not reference Keeley 2's sensors. We did not try to incorporate them into the combination at all, and so it is not correct to say that we actually incorporated Keeley 2 into the combination, other than to say that it was well known to use processors and memory. And the question of whether or not Giva would be placed on top of an LCD panel is actually taught specifically by Giva. At appendix 1356, what Giva says is that it should be positioned on top of an LCD in order to protect the LCD electronics, protect the surface, and simulate the sense of pen and paper. So Giva teaches that you should take the planar element and put it on top of an LCD.
And where do you say that in the petition or call out 1356 from Giva itself in your petition?
So we call out 1356, which is Exhibit 11, Exhibit 1011 in the petition. You can see that. And where we define the combination. We need to so when we talk about at Appendix 277, Giva is an improved alternative to well-known digitizing technologies. That's the electromagnetic radiation. We cite to Exhibit 1011 here, talk about the benefits. This is where we cite to the general background to teaching of Giva. Now, I wanted to direct your honor's attention
You're
to one other
that
thing.
Column 2, lines 19 through 21, that's exactly what you just talked about? Is that what you're saying?
I need to double-check to make sure. Column 2, lines 19 to 21, is talking about the disadvantages of an electromagnetic digitizer and using the improved alternative. And the way that this is all implemented is part of this discussion, this background discussion. I'm not sure that this particular passage is what I just cited to you, but that is the point that we were making in the petition.
Which is sort of inconsistent with the notion that you were keeping the digitizer and the magnetic coil in combination.
What's that?
Which is sort of inconsistent with the idea that you're keeping the digitizer and magnetic coil in the combination.
Exactly. And that's what this entire first section of Giva is telling you. There are these known technologies, resistive, capacitive, electromagnetic, and you should replace it. Replace it with this improved alternative.
Are you agreeing with Judge Dyke that you're being inconsistent?
No, I'm agreeing that this statement in Giva is inconsistent with what the board said. What the board said is that we were trying to bring in Keeley 2, and that's just inconsistent with Giva and the way that we applied it. And I did want to direct Your Honor's attention to one bit of the patent in response to your question, Judge Stark, and that is at Appendix 115, Column 6, Line 22. The patent describes how motion is being detected, and what it says is repetitive calculation of the stylus position several times a second as the stylus is moved allows for a stylus trajectory to be recorded. And that is what Giva is doing. Giva is detecting position. It is simulating the sense of pen and paper. A user is writing and moving the stylus, and it's calculating position over and over again, and that is the motion that is being detected by Giva. And that is the functionality that is incorporated into Keeley, because they're both intended to simulate the sense of pen and paper. And Giva is just an alternative way to do it, and that's what we said. Take out the electromagnetic digitizer, what Giva tells you to do, and put in the light-based digitizer. And to the extent that there was any sort of ambiguity there, the reply made it very, very clear what we were trying to do. The expert didn't think he was being ambiguous, but to the extent there was ambiguity, he clarified it in reply, and the board did not meaningfully consider it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank both counsel. The case is submitted.